JC2S, Part 2.
Number 21A.
All right, so we read the next point in the text, Truth is Spirit is Soul, 144:23 to 145:30. And now let's just listen to how she shows how this victory within our, by turning to the mind of Christ, she shows, therefore, how the victory is only through the channel of the mind, which is Christ. And therefore, that mind, which is Christ, has the victory by subduing mortal beliefs. So that's this big tone here, that method of practice which we just have, that has a victory, and what it does is it controls beliefs. So you hear that spirit of victory, because the greater controls the lesser. That's the greater remedy that controls the lesser. So let's just listen for how she's saying that mind, which is Christ, is the remedy which controls. Because divine science wars with so-called physical science, even as truth wars with error, the old schools still oppose it. Ignorance, pride, or prejudice closes the door to whatever is not stereotype. When the science of being is universally understood, every man will be his own physician, and truth will be the universal panacea. It is a question today whether the ancient inspired healers understood the science of Christian healing, or whether they caught its sweet tones as a natural musician catches the tones of harmony without being able to explain them. So divinely imbued were they with the spirit of science that the lack of the letter could not hinder their work, and that the letter without the spirit would have made void their practice. The struggle for recovery of invalids goes on, not between material methods, but between mortal minds and immortal mind. The victory will be on the patient's side only as immortal mind through Christ's truth subdues the human belief in disease. It matters not what material methods one may adopt, whether faith in drugs, trust in hygiene, or reliance on some other minor curative. Scientific healing has this advantage over other methods, that in it truth controls error. From this fact arises its ethical as well as its physical effects. Indeed, its ethical and physical effects are indissolubly connected. If there is any mystery in Christian healing, it is the mystery which godliness always presents to the ungodly, the mystery always arising from ignorance of the laws of eternal and unerring mind. Other methods undertake to oppose error with error, and thus they increase the antagonism of one form of matter towards another form of matter or error. And the warfare between spirit and the flesh goes on. By this antagonism, mortal mind must continually weaken its own assumed power. Terrific. Do you get the spirit of it? Mm-hmm. Good. That's what's important, first of all. You see, the Bible, what is the first? We get the spirit of it. Then the science came through the textbook. So we don't want to lose that wonderful spirit of practice with text interpretation and learning the tones. We always want to take the concept building back into tonality so we get the spirit of what we're doing. So let's now just mark our text according to the abstractions and not according to the text, because I don't want us to get bogged down with all the little details. This is just too much is involved here. So from now on, I'll jump from the text to the abstractions, and you can at home in your study color the text, and if you can color the text while you're looking at the abstractions, that's fine, but I don't want to lose the overall theme of practice. Practice here is too important to get bogged down on whether the color is spirit or matter, red, green, blue, or brown. So you have the method, and therefore we want to go for the subject. So we see then that in the struggle for recovery, that mind, that is always the medicine, at the point of soul, is going to have, therefore, the greater controlling the lesser. If we go for this mind of Christ healing, which is Christian Science, then she says, all right, that is has a soul tone. It is the greater method. In fact, she says it's the only method. She says there on line, page 145, line 10, the victory will be on the patient's side only. You hear the spirit tone? That this truth's method of mind is the only medicine. That is the only victory on the patient's side. As if saying, all these material methods and remedy, as she shows, what does it end up doing but just error fighting with error, error opposing error, just absolutely creating this great friction and antagonism of one false method handling another false method, to finally what happens is that mortal mind just becomes so finally weakened through the laws of entropy that it weakens only its own assumed power. Its own willpower finally goes. With that greater method, then all that happens is that those weaker methods are just going to kill themselves off through their friction, see, entropy. Their friction, their arguing back and forth, just finally begins to dissipate itself till it finally gets into the land of nothingness, not, as the second record of creation shows. So therefore, she says, now this greater method is of mind, which is the only remedy at spirit, therefore will subdue mortal mind's beliefs. So she says that conservative, under the marginal heading, conservative antagonism, well, that what is going on is that truth is warring with error. That's that truth is spirit. And she says, because divine science wars with so-called physical science, the old schools are still opposing spiritual means. Why? Well, because it goes against. See that spirit tone. Why are the old schools opposing this mind healing that I've presented, Mrs. Eddy says, this mind of Christ healing? Well, because they want to go for the physical means of healing, for the physical sciences which have material means. The old schools are still in the old school of the human philosophy, of a material philosophy which gives rise to a physical science and its material means. But why do they oppose it? Blatantly through ignorance. Huh? Forgive them, they know not what they do. It's just dumbness, ignorance of the truth. And so she says, well, the solution then is always for us, we turn away from the old schools, we turn to the new science, the new theology, and when that science is a living theology within our consciousness, it heals. So she just says, well, the solution is this science of being, this truth called a living principle love, called a living theology. When we have come this right far at the point of truth, that science which lives within our consciousness is the only theology. That's the solution. That's the remedy. That's the spiritual means. And by taking that, that's the only solution. The science understood spiritually is going to be a universal panacea. It's going to be the universal cure-all. And every man is going to be his own physician. So you hear those laws of the Christ is the Christ, that Christ is going to bring this remedy to the world, to every man, through the laws of truth, life, and love. That whole Christ will come right down to the individual man, and he be adapted as love to his individual situation, so every man will be his own physician through this real, true remedy of truth, the spiritual remedy. And when that remedy comes to every single situation, is a cure-all for every single situation, then it will be understood that that truth is the universal remedy, the universal panacea. So we see, therefore, she's saying the solution is only in this mind science. And because it is a mind of Christ, it will come to every situation as the remedy to every situation. And when it comes as a remedy to every situation, and they see, and mankind sees, that the victory is on the patient's side only when he turns to this remedy, then that will be accepted collectively and universally. And then she goes on with that marginal heading of ancient healers. And then she just talks in general about, therefore, a largely a sense of spirit there, the truth of spirit tone, saying, well, these ancient healers, they got the spirit of it. If they didn't see the Christ as the Christ operating in its science, or could explain it in its science, as it will be, when the science of being, it's going to be universally understood. Every man will be his own physician, and truth will be the universal panacea. She just shows that that's going to happen. Those laws of truth in its wholeness is going to be universally understood. But in those days past, it wasn't so much universally understood as it will be by the individual, collective, individual in the universal. To those ancient healers, they got the spirit of it, and that was all that mattered. They had the truth in its spirit, and that was they had the spirit, so they went to spiritual means with what they had, the spirit of it, and that healed. But as she'll go on to show in the next point of truth of soul, we're in a different age. You see, as we peek ahead, you'll see that the healing power was lost because the science wasn't there, and the next tone of truth is soul. But today, it is metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to laws, huh? But to the ancient healers, that was okay at this point of truth, the spirit, that spirit was definite enough within them in that age for them to get the spirit. But today, we live in another age, she'll say it, truth is soul. All right, so we go on with the work, and we come to the struggle and victory. Go ahead. All right, now we go on. Louisa will change the transparency to the next abstraction. And you skip that one, and skip that one, and then put the next one up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the struggle and the victory. And we say, well, that Mrs. Eddy therefore brought out that sense of truth is spirit. See, that true remedy goes on as a struggle, first of all. That truth comes as a struggle when it comes to spirit. It isn't, that remedy isn't always accepted as easily maybe as those natural truth consciousness of those ancient healers. They had the spirit of it, and so they were natural musicians. There wasn't that struggle within them. It was a much more natural flow, but perhaps to us that remedy becomes a struggle. But she says it won't be a struggle any longer if we stop relying on those material methods and we give up the material methods, because it's just a struggle between material methods and spiritual methods. And then finally she gives, as I've only pointed out, that beautiful point that we would like to underline there, that the victory will be on the patient's side only as the immortal mind through Christ's truth subdues the human belief in disease. That adds it all up. Doesn't it? Do you hear truth? The victory is truth. Huh? Only spirit as immortal mind through the mind of Christ. Huh? The victory will only be on the patient's side when he turns to the mind of Christ and allow that to be the greater which controls soul, the human beliefs in disease, which then bring out the healing of the physical. Mm-hmm, great. And then she gives this, I think she goes on here with this mystery of godliness. I'm glad, one is glad she takes this up, see, because we've talked about these points now. It's not that we haven't talked about it, but I talked about it because I knew it was found in the textbook and it would come up here. But you see, the mystery of godliness, she'll show that is that's a mystery only to the human mind, as she wants to say out. What's so mysterious about this? Why is it called the mystery of the healing Christ? We can see now with the consciousness of the mind of Christ how this healing takes place in its first and second translation. It's no longer a mystery to us. Now, I've explained it to us already, so I just will recap it quickly, because she says that this healing, which we have given ourselves a treatment and have taken different examples, and also the Sammy story, that was a scientific healing. And we already saw then that when Sammy went for the mind of Christ healing, it had advantage over other methods, insofar as that it healed Sammy ethically, morally, as well as physically. He got a holistic healing. That his physical claim, which was only the result of his nature, which wasn't in line with God through self-interests, that when he allowed his self-abnegation for the ego to the divine, through a struggle there at the point of the ordering process of spirit, but then he did turn to the divine mind and then let that mind bring him the wisdom and the purity and the spiritual understanding and the spiritual power and the love to let go of his material concepts and love the principle, he had his healing, health. And so, therefore, but that healing, he had a moral healing and a physical healing in that story, didn't he? He was healed of his self-interest because he self-abnegated it for the divine, and that the physical healing came. He was healed also. So she says that is because the ethical and the physical have agreement. They are so connected. See, now she's showing the connection between, that you cannot dissolve that connection between the second degree and the first degree in healing. You can, in Christian Science, go for just the physical healing. That's not Christian Science. If you want it, she says, then go to the psychologist to heal up your mind. That may affect the body, but that will never be a spiritual healing. It's just a mental healing. It'll never get to the cause of the problem. And so she says that Christian Science healing is based on the fact that the second degree and the first degree are connected, they have that agreement, and that the spiritual heals the mental, which then heals the physical, as we've said. And then that's all I have on the slide, therefore, just exactly what we have seen. The scientific translation of immortal mind and the scientific translation of mortal mind, how the spiritual, therefore, is controlling the morally mental, which then controls the physical. And then below I said there that spiritual healing, that truth healing, which is spiritual, using only the channels of the spiritual, that's a real healing because it heals the whole man. Do you see? Isn't that wonderful? It's holistic healing. So when they talk about holistic medicine today, they're talking about the mind-body connection, the mental-physical connection. They're not talking about the spiritual connection. We know what real divine holistic healing is. Not so when we talk about holistic practice, yes, we do holistic practice in medicine, but it's divinely holistic practice, not what they mean in the world. So we can use that term if we define it correctly. Hence, remember what Mrs. Eddy admonished us there in that language of spirit tone last year that said, watch the language. Because if we use this term of holistic healing, that to the world just means mental healing. So if we adopt it, we can adopt the term, but always give it the higher meaning. We're not encouraging our students to go out and read every book there is about holistic medicine. That's not the point. That's not Christian Science. It's a nice word, holistic and holism, but we don't mean what the world means by it. Again, always referring to the language. Make sure the language stays pure, she says. That ear hath not heard, nor lips spoken the pure language of God. So if we use this term holism, which we could write at this point, healing, we say it is divinely holistic healing, meaning that it's a spiritual method which relies on the divine mind to control the mental, which then controls the physical. So we see then that, I brought out this point too then, that it heals the whole man, where a physical healing alone is no real healing. I think Dick did bring out that point, didn't you, Dick, when talking to the physicians, that they see that they're only healing an effect, a phenomenon, a symptom, he said, but they know they're not getting at the real cause. And really, by not going for the divinely holistic healing, we really prevent the person from finding their true manhood. Because that physical claim is really the Christ saying, there's something wrong with your holistic manhood. And the Christ is saying, you're sitting on a pin. And therefore, you have to take that pin out, you see, to bring out your true manhood. You can't just go to some doctor that's going to leave the pin in there and bandage over it. Oh, he may give an injection there, Novocaine, so you don't feel the pin. That's all the doctor does. He just gives you a little bit of a deadening around the pin, and you walk away thinking, oh, I've been healed. That's all he's done. The pin is still there. The problem, the cause of the situation is still in there with a physical and mental healing. She's saying it's preventing us from finding our true manhood, the cause of the problem. We want to have the Christ come along and analyze and uncover the pin and pull it out, huh? So therefore our life goes on in holistic, but that's exactly what it is. The pin is left there. The problem is still there. And so maybe 5 years down, the problem festers again. And it just, and then you go again, and maybe somebody else tried something else. So you took a drug to subdue it a little bit rather than an injection. Took a more mental attenuation. That still didn't get rid of it. Years later, who knows, they may pop off because they didn't get the pin in out. Huh? So this, she's saying, it prevents finding true manhood. It's only the Christ is bringing up that ache called the pin to get the pin out. And the only way the pin will come out is through that holistic method, getting to the cause, which would be our oneness with the principle, with the divine mind, which brings us that which is causing the problem, which brings the healing. We can see that. All right? Then, geez, there were a lot of abstractions. There was one more abstraction. So the mystery of healing is taken away through. Then I had one of matter versus matter for that marginal heading. Yes, that would be the last for this tone. Where she says, well, anyhow, she said, under the marginal heading, matter versus matter, all these remedies that don't take the pin out, and just they're just unscientific methods. She says they're just material means that finally just oppose one error with another. They just deaden the problem. And she says there's no victory there. There's no control over the problem. And what happens? The warfare goes on. The problem is still sitting there festering and festering and festering. And she says, thus they increase the antagonism of one form of matter towards another form of matter or air. And the warfare between spirit and the flesh, it goes on and on and on and on. Until the victory is on the side where the patient sees that the only remedy is the mind of Christ, as she said. But she says, by this antagonism of one air opposing another, where a drug is given for a physical claim, which is just, a drug is just a false, erroneous belief trying to heal another false, erroneous belief, She says it's just antagonism, it's just friction, and these beliefs, all they do is war against each other. They never can figure out which belief heals which beliefs, and it just becomes friction upon friction upon friction. And as we see now in that law of duality, in that law of matter versus matter, is just the realm of the second record of creation. And where does that second record of creation end? According to the laws of second dynamics, according to the law of entropy, it just continually weakens what? Its own assumed power. It just finally dies out through its friction. It just it dissipates and dissipates and dissipates its energy till it just comes to a state of equilibrium, a state of normality, a state of deadness. It enters the land of Nod. So it's just, but that's positive, because that just shows that that remedy of error is not the highest remedy. It's that equipollence of God reasoning. She keeps showing us under the spirit tone. By matter just antagonizing itself and antagonizing itself and antagonizing itself, it just will die out as a remedy. It just won't work. It just will become more and more complicated in the wrong sense, and therefore begins through its friction to dissipate and not work, and showing therefore that only the allness of the remedy of truth, hence the awful unreality and struggle called the remedies of error. And finally shows, therefore, there is no victory to this remedy. There's no control over it at all. And that the only remedy there is, as we go back to the main point here of the truth is spirit is soul tone, is that in the struggle for recovery, the spirit of immortal mind is only that which gives the victory, which subdues mortal beliefs and mortal minds. So we've seen now, through this great tone of truth as spirit, we've learned a lot more about practice. So we've now gone through this truth tone as truth is mind, truth is spirit, and we're certainly now gaining a great ascendancy and consciousness of the power of truth over error. And we've only covered two subtones in their subtones. And yet, don't we feel we've got a basis under us concerning practice? That's always what the mind and spirit and soul tones do. They give us that basis behind the remedy, you see. So we're already, and now we do point three that Max asked, and if Louisa can put up the epitomes again, and we turn to our epitome book. No, let's just turn to our epitome book. We needn't project it on the screen. Just leave the screen blank. And now we go back to our epitome book, and we say, well, yes, at point three, Max said, now go over the flow of the epitomes, just a culture where we have been coming from. That's an exercise. Now we've finished a subtone in its subtones. Before we go on to the next subtone, don't stop there. Go back and exercise. So when we go back to our rooms this afternoon, before we take up the subject of truth as soul in our room, we want to practice what we've learned now as truth as mind as spirit. So we saw, therefore, that last evening we did that exercise within us of truth as mind. We went and we saw, oh yes, that truth is the remedy. And now I know very strongly that I'm only going to turn to the remedy of Christian Science to heal me, because it's the only victory on the patient's side. I would be absolutely ignorant to ignore this remedy now that it has been presented to me through science and understanding through the textbook. And so now I have come this far in the journey. I'm certainly not going to turn back. I turn now to truth as the only remedy.